Welcome to Today on Broadway from Monday, April 25th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
If you are just checking your podcast feed for the first time in a few days, we released two great episodes on Saturday. The first episode came in the morning, and that was literally Patty Murin, the podcast's inaugural episode. The second one came in the afternoon, and that was Michael Portantier's The Sound of Musicals, in which he took us inside a half dozen cast recordings from The King and I. They are both really, really fun, but very different. So James, not to pat ourselves on the back too hard, but those are pretty good podcasts.
I'm really excited about it. You know, I was there for the recording of both of them, and I enjoyed listening to them post as they were ready as well. It's so much fun to do this work. If you're interested in joining the team, drop Matt and I an email at broadwayradio.com.
You're always plugging something, aren't you?
This is what we do.
Yeah. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for another plug, just to round it out.
All right, Matt, you know what's great when we do some recording?
What's that?
I always like to have a little bit of pie.
pie makes everything better.
I love pie. Loves me some apple pie. What's your favorite pie?
Banana cream.
All right. So was there any banana cream pie in the waitress reviews?
I'm not exactly sure what that metaphor means exactly, but we have been talking about Waitress a lot, kind of being the musical to break out from this spring's crowded Broadway field, both in terms of the critical and box office response. Early reports have been that the creative team of book writer Jesse Nelson and composer lyricist Sarah Bareilles, along with director Diane Paulus, made significant improvements to the show from its run at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts last year. Based on the Adrian Shelley film of the same name, Waitress tells the story of Jenna, played by Tony winner Jesse Mueller, a pregnant diner waitress who finds herself falling for her OBGYN while she's pregnant, despite the fact that they are both married to other people. The cast is loaded with talent, including Drew Gehlig, Nick Cordero, Keala Settle, Kimiko Glenn, Christopher Fitzgerald, Eric Anderson, and many, many more. So if we're going to continue your metaphor, James, of a banana cream pie being something really good, yeah, most of the reviews were very positive. There's a few exceptions here and there, as there often are, but for the most part, they've been, you know, really good. Time Out New York's David Cody praises the show's writing and structure, saying, "Waitress has been whipped into an expertly constructed and emotionally satisfying tale of self-liberation in the face of limited options. Jesse Nelson's broadly comic yet brooding book meshes wonderfully with a frisk, bright score by pop star Sarah Bareilles, a seasoned songwriter who lets the Beatles and other Britpop influences shine through." Continuing with the strong reviews, Robert Kahn of NBC New York wrote, "It's easy as pie to fall for Waitress, a sweet comic musical returning Tony Award winner Jesse Mueller to Broadway." He continues, "Mueller's performance is nicely balanced. She makes Jenna a dreamer, grounded in common sense. Mueller's also a perfect fit for Bareilles' alternately sorrowful and empowering songs." Here's where the reviews kind of get a little more mixed, but still pretty positive. The Hollywood Reporter's David Rooney says that the show is rich in themes of mother-daughter legacies, female friendship forged in the workplace, emancipation from conjugal tyranny, and the therapeutic powers of baking. He continues on the other side, however, saying, "Echoing a weakness in the original screen source, director Diane Paulus and choreographer Lauren Lataro could be criticized for overplaying the whimsy. There's so much going on in scene transitions that it all becomes a tad cutesy and distracting." However, he does kind of round it all up by praising the female trio at the center of much of the show's marketing. In addition to Mueller's Jenna, he says, feisty sass-mouthed Becky and mousy borderline OCD Dawn, Keala Settle and Kimiko Glenn, are treasures. The dynamic among the three of them revealing the material's debt to Alice doesn't live here anymore. For the kind of complete opposite, for the more negative side, we go to Newsday's Linda Weiner. She opens her review saying, "For a musical comedy about a battered wife, an unwanted pregnancy, and multiple spousal betrayals, Waitress is really very sweet. Sometimes, like the pies our beleaguered heroine bakes with such otherworldly finesse, such goodness can also be a bit cloying." Though she praises Mueller's casting and performance, she says that Tony nominee Nick Cordero is charmless, and that Kimiko Glenn and Keala Settle bellow and smear the lyrics as if the microphones are stuck in their windpipes. So, for the most part, all of the reviews, including some of the ones we didn't talk about, were positive. But you do hear a few dissenters in there. I honestly wasn't expecting much dissent, but it does seem like there is some out there. And I will have at least the New York Times review on tomorrow's show, along with any others of note that seem important to pass along as well.
All right. Up next, last week we talked about American Psycho. Matt, what's the update on that?
Yeah, as they normally are, the New York Times was the last major publication to release the review for Thursday night's opening of American Psycho on Broadway. So I did just want to share what Ben Brantley and a few other of the important later publishing critics had to say about the show. If you remember, while the consensus was decidedly mixed, the reviews themselves tended to either be very positive or very negative. And that didn't seem to change after we recorded and more reviews came out. Brantley wrote, "Though it often looks as carefully and cosmetically arranged as a window at Barney's, Patrick's favorite store, American Psycho is a mess. That's not because of all that sloppy, sloshy blood, but because it is terminally undecided tone. This latest incarnation suffers from the weight of having to be a big Broadway musical." He continued, saying that star Benjamin Walker holds the show together for sure. "Mostly, though, this Psycho is neither sexy nor scary, nor is the show in which he appears." Yikes. The New York Post's Elizabeth Vincitelli praised the show's music, however, saying, "The score is strong. Duncan Sheik's synthesizer-heavy music, radical by Broadway standards, finally delivers a worthy follow-up to his Spring Awakening. A comic American Psycho you can dance to? Somehow, it works." Okay, not really jiving those two together. And finally, Jesse Green from New York Magazine's Vulture adds to the critical confusion, writing, "The structure and tone are a lazy mess. Changes that may have worked on film are undermined by the musical format. What the camera registers sardonically feels silly and cartoonish when rendered on stage." So, James, it's tough to really decide what critics think about this, because this is about as all over the map as we've seen here this season so far.
There's only one critic that matters.
Who's that?
That's the box office.
That's true. And it's unfortunately, it's kind of in the middle of the road as well. Not doing great, but not doing terrible. It's kind of in between, you know, Tuck Everlasting and Disaster at the bottom of this spring's new shows and Waitress up at the top. So we'll see how things shake out as we really get into the big awards and tourist season.
Can we make a sports reference here?
Please do.
So I think about opening up a Broadway show is like a 4x100 track race. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now the anchor person, the fourth person that the baton gets handed off to that runs the last leg of this in Broadway standards is now the marketing team. And we're going to have to see what the marketing team does with American Psycho as much as they do with all the other shows. And some shows like the Hamiltons are much easier to do than other shows, but the heavy lifting is going to come now. We'll see in the grosses in the next couple of Mondays to see how American Psycho does. And I think that's really up to the marketing team.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we've all seen shows that have done really well on Broadway, and we say, how in the world is that happening? And then we've all seen shows that we've loved dearly that have closed early. And, yeah. You know, these are all the differences in the ability to put butts in seats, and butts in seats is the hard job on Broadway. It's, you know, harder than anything else.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, a sports metaphor, but I've often said that theater is the most collaborative thing you can do. It's even more collaborative than a sports team. It's more collaborative than any other form of art, whether it's singing or dancing, because of not only all the people that have to do it together on stage, but all the people that have to do their work behind the scenes that are really the driving force with making something successful. So it really does, for not to betray my politics, but it does take a village, and some of those villages are easy to make successful and some aren't. And so we'll see what happens with the rest of these shows as they open up here in the next few weeks and we get into the heavy dog days of summer.
Well, Matt, let's just make Broadway great again. So tell us about the upcoming schedule. Excuse me.
Oh, Lord. We really do need to do a Broadway politics podcast, so we'll get to that later.
Works, in the works.
Yeah, I know. In addition to last night's opening of Waitress, there are a ton of other Broadway shows that are opening this week in advance of Thursday's Tony eligibility cutoff. James, we'll get more into depth on each of these as the week advances, but since there's so many of them, I did just want to run through the calendar fairly quickly today. Tonight, Jesse Tyler Ferguson's one-man show, Fully Committed, opens at the Lyceum Theater. The play was written by Becky Mode and directed by Avenue Q and Pitch Perfect's Jason Moore. Tomorrow, the new musical, Tuck Everlasting, opens at the Broadhurst and stars Andrew Keenan Bulger, Carolee Carmello, Terrence Mann, and introduces Sarah Charles Lewis as Winnie Foster. Then on Wednesday, Roundabout star-studded revival of Eugene O'Neill's Long Day's Journey Into Night opens at the American Airlines Theater. The play stars Jessica Lane, Gabriel Byrne, Michael Shannon, and John Gallagher Jr. Finally, Shuffle Along, or the Making of the Musical Sensation of 1921 and All That Followed, opens on Thursday at the Music Box Theater. We've heard a lot about this show not being ready yet, and James, we're recently hearing that Audra McDonald is again out for illness. It's been a bumpy ride for the preview process of Shuffle Along, so I'm really interested to see what the critics have a say or have to say when they finally get the chance to. Starting today, this is the first day that either Tony voters or critics are able to come see the show. So I'm really hoping that Audra is in the show and that it's ready for public consumption. The show features a new-ish book by director George C. Wolfe and has choreography by Savion Glover, and features performances by the incredible cast of not only Audra McDonald, but Brian Stokes Mitchell, Billy Porter, Brandon Victor Dixon, Joshua Henry, and many, many more. This is shaping up to be a really interesting week, not only for awards consideration, but just to see how these very different shows play together in the course of a Broadway season.
Yeah. Was there any outcome? I forget if there was an outcome on the show's request for being considered as a revival instead of a new musical.
The Tony nominating committee has not yet considered the shows that aren't open. Once all of these shows open, they will meet again and give their final recommendations as to who goes into what category, both in terms of performances and in shows. So I would expect that since the eligibility deadline is this Thursday, maybe sometime early next week.
Well, you know, Shuffle Along is a little bit older than MAME, but and MAME would be considered a revival, wouldn't it?
It is. There's been one revival of MAME, but they are going to be celebrating MAME's 50th birthday coming up next month. It was reported on Friday that in celebration of the classic Jerry Herman musical, members of the original Broadway production, which opened on May 24th, 1966, would be celebrating the show this May 26th at Sardi's. While details are sparse right now, MAME herself, the legendary Angela Lansbury, is scheduled to be there as it stands right now. Producer John Boab and choreographer Diana Baffa Brill are coordinating the reunion. The show's book was originally written by Jerome Lawrence and Robert Edwin Lee, who had originally adapted Patrick Dennis's novel Anti-Mame into a Tony-winning play starring Rosalind Russell in 1957. The musical version won three Tonys in 66, but has only been revived once, very briefly, in 1983, again starring Lansbury. Unfortunately, many members of the original Broadway company are no longer with us, including Bea Arthur and Frankie Miles, who, along with Lansbury, both won Tonys for their performances. Miles, who played Patrick Dennis, age 10 in the show, and is the youngest person to ever win a Tony, unfortunately passed away last month at the age of 60. But all of the sadness of missing company members aside, this seems to be an event that a lot of people are looking forward to, especially because this is a show that's beloved by a lot of people, but despite that short revival in 83, really isn't done a whole lot either in New York or regionally around the country.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you have any statistics on national tours of MAME? I sort of remember that there was a couple of national tours, but maybe I'm misremembering that.
There's been a few. In fact, Angela Lansbury left the original Broadway production to do a special tour that went out to the West Coast, but it's not one that's been, you know, done too often, as the touring market has changed so much over the last few decades, where it went from being you could see shows with no connection to Broadway productions fairly regularly on the road. Now it really is just a offshoot of Broadway, where the current and recent Broadway shows send out other versions of those same productions. You don't see standalone productions very much on the road anymore, at least not at the higher quality equity level.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes we're seeing the reverse, where the tour is going to come and make a stop on Broadway.
Yeah,
as we but see again, with coming up in, what is it? Motown.
But again, that and Hair before it, which happened a few years ago, those tours were originally offshoots of Broadway productions. Absolutely. So it's just a much different market than it was when you would see someone like Angela Lansbury or Ethel Merman toured all the time. You just don't see that anymore because of the finances, the logistics, just the way Broadway works now is much different than it ever was before.
All right, let's move forward. Oh, Matt, there's a typo in this script here.
Oh, what's that?
It's the Jimmy Award tickets. I call them the James Awards.
I thought you were actually being serious.
who is this? Who are you talking to?
You can call them whatever you want, but I know you're excited about this because you sent me this story last week. But tickets for the 8th annual National High School Musical Theater Awards, also known as the Jimmy Awards, or if it is your preference, the James Awards. Unfortunately, we're not named after James Marino, but instead the legendary James M. Niederlander. They go on sale tomorrow, Tuesday at 10 a.m. The event will be held at the Menskoff Theater on June 27th and will feature high school students from across the country who have won Best Actor or Best Actress Awards in their home states or regions. The nominees will participate in solo performances as well as larger ensemble performances as well. Leading up to the event, the finalists will participate in a 10-day professional training intensive at NYU's Tisch School of the Arts New Studio with Broadway and theater professional faculty. The winners will then be selected by industry experts. The awards just started in 2009, but already we are seeing some of their alums make names for themselves in theater in and around the entertainment world. The 2010 male winner, Kyle Selig, just finished a 6-week run as Elder Price in the Book of Mormon on Broadway after having been on tour with the show as well as playing the lead role in Pippin. Then the 2011 winner, Ryan McCartan, originated the role of JD in Heather's the Musical off-Broadway and is currently filming Fox's new version of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, where he will be playing Brad Majors. So this has been something that's only been around for a little while, but already has done a pretty good job of picking out some of the best talent from across the country. The National High School Musical Theater Awards are presented by the Broadway League, and tickets will be available tomorrow at NHSMTA.com as well as at Ticketmaster.
One of the most famous ones is Eva Noble Zeta, the 18-year-old actress who actually didn't win the National High School Music Award. She was a runner-up and became Kim in the London revival of Miss Saigon. Do you know if Eva is coming to New York with the Saigon production? Has that been announced?
Well, first off, I did not know that that's where she was from. I know of her, but I didn't know she was part of the Jimmy Awards, so that's cool. But I don't believe an official casting. The assumption is that most of the London cast will come, or at least the principals, but I don't believe anything officially has been announced.
Yeah, I don't think that there was an official announcement there, but Eva Noble Zeta, I think, came in second or third at the High School Musical.
Very cool.
National High School Musical Theater Awards. And Tara Rubin, a great casting director, picked her up and recommended that she go to audition for the London Saigon, and she had a successful run out there.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Is history. All right. So,
speaking of history,
and speaking of London and the Royal Shakespeare Company, tell us about what's happening with Shakespeare.
Well, on Saturday evening, the Royal Shakespeare Company held a very special event to celebrate, or I don't know if that's exactly the right word, commemorate the 400th anniversary of William Shakespeare's death. The event was hosted by the 10th Doctor, the great David Tennant, and Catherine Tate. They did a bunch of really fun stuff during the event, but my favorite was they had a bunch of big names who had previously played Hamlet come out and deliver some dialogue. The former Hamlets included the Matilda composer Tim Minchin, the great Benedict Cumberbatch, Harriet Walter, Rory Kinnear, some guy named Ian McClellan, some woman who had a really frilly collar named Judy Dench. And the most important guest, I suppose, especially if you're a royal file, that is the RSC's president for the past 20 years, some guy named Prince Charles. It's a really fun video. It seems like they had a lot of fun doing it. I highly recommend that if you haven't seen it, take a look and enjoy some very British Shakespeare.
That's awesome. I love that. I'll put the video in the show notes as well. So, Matt, do you think that Prince Charles will ever get up and sing a version of You'll Be Back, maybe to President Obama?
That would be awful. We have seen President Obama. He's on a tour of Europe. Right now, we saw him meet Prince Charles' grandson. He actually did, speaking of performances of Hamlet, he visited London's Globe Theatre yet on Saturday as well, where some actors perform scenes from Hamlet for him as well. So he's getting a very British introduction to the arts around Shakespeare, the anniversary of his death. Also, I know there are some former Wicked performers who have been flown over to Germany to do a special performance for the president and Chancellor Angela Merkel. So it's a very theater-heavy weekend for President Obama while he's over there touring Europe.
All right, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow Broadway Radio on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks so much for listening, and Matt will be with you most of this week. Have a good one.